If you don't have no money, she ain't got no time for you.
Why are we spending $2.3 billion to increase commute time?
Governor Rauner's standing in the schoolhouse door.
Welcome to the AlderCast. I'm A.D. Quick.
And I'm Claudia Morell. It's Friday, December 2nd, and a surprisingly busy post-Thanksgiving week.
Yep, three big stories. Governor Bruce Rauner vetoed a bill that would have given Chicago Public Schools $215 million. It's money the district already budgeted for and desperately needs to make its next pension payment.
Obviously, the governor's actions today are obviously very serious and can affect our students in a very deleterious way.
Alderman gave a green light for the biggest TIF in Chicago history. It's part of a larger plan to secure a $1 billion federal grant to upgrade the CTA's red and purple line, the busiest line in the system.
I made a pledge to modernize the entire red line from Howard to 95th Street. Today's vote is another down payment on that.
It's a big deal, but it's complicated. We'll try to explain how it'll work and why it matters for Northsiders.
And it's likely that you, like many, have election fatigue after the whirlwind that was the 2016 presidential race. But there is yet another race brewing, if you can believe it, the special election for the 4th Ward Alderman. We've got exclusive interviews with all five candidates hoping to unseat the incumbent, Sophia King, and discuss whether King can shake her reputation as a mayoral appointee.
Time will tell whether she's part of that system.
Let's start with the state and move toward the local. On Thursday, Governor Bruce Rauner surprised many by vetoing a bill that would have provided CPS with some much-needed cash. It's a bill that passed by a bipartisan state House budget agreement last June.
CPS balanced its roughly $5.5 billion budget with the expectation that they'd get this money. But a deal had to be struck. The funds were contingent on another issue. Yep, you guessed it, pension reform. It was sort of a gentleman's agreement. If the General Assembly and governor agreed to a pension reform plan by the end of the year, the governor would sign the bill and send the money to CPS.
Here's where things get a little hinky. It's not quite the end of the year.
Governor Rauner said Senate President John Cullerton had broken the deal. They weren't getting close to pension reform, so he vetoed that $215 million payment. Senate President Cullerton said Rauner was moving too fast and thought he had a couple more weeks to get somewhere.
So Cullerton called for a vote, and the Senate immediately overrode the veto, with the bare minimum 36 votes they needed. The measure's fate lies with the House. They've got to act in the next 15 days. So this leaves CPS in a bind.
CPS CEO Forrest Claypool held a press conference Thursday. He was asked, what's plan B?
Look, we plan all the time for contingencies and emergencies, but I'm not here today to talk about that or to address that. We are going to fight. We're going to fight with everything we have to overturn the governor's decision. We believe that we have a very good chance to prevail.
So the plan is to get the House to override that veto. If that doesn't work, Claypool says it might go to court.
You may recall that prior to this summer's budget, CPS children received just 15% of state funding despite being 20% of state students. And despite being a system that is 85% low-income and 85% African-American and Hispanic. That's a disparity that's not only shocking to the conscience, it's a likely violation of the civil rights laws.
I called up Alderman Howard Brookins, chair of the council's education committee. He's been at home recovering from a bike accident and was a little behind on the news. Anyways, he said he spoke with CPS officials about what happens next and said they were, quote, cautiously optimistic.
Well, should it fail, I'm not sure what, if anything, we can do. It appears that the governor is willing to hold everybody hostage for his own political agenda. People are cautiously optimistic that something can be done. But, you know, in this climate of political engagement, who knows?
Budget watchers have argued that CPS should have never counted on Springfield coming through with that money. After all, they can't even pass a budget.
We were never holding our breath, expecting that money to come through in the first place, but it's inexcusable and shameful on the part of the governor.
That's Erica Clark, a representative with Parents for Teachers, a public education advocacy group. She said budgeting with money that's not guaranteed is no way to run a school district.
With the dysfunction in Springfield, to balance your budget, you know, with the hopes that Springfield's going to come through with some money was really irresponsible on the part of CPS and the mayor.
Like we said, the House has a couple of weeks to attempt the override. You can bet that CPS and the city are all hands on deck trying to line up those votes. We'll keep an eye on it.
It's an interesting race because I don't believe anybody in the race has particularly strong name recognition.
The 4th Ward special election will be held on February 28th. Six people, including the incumbent, Alderman Sophia King, are vying for the spot. The previous alderman, Will Burns, resigned from the post in May after winning re-election less than a year earlier. Yep, he got a better offer, a lobbying position at Airbnb.
So, the position was open. 18 people applied, and a 5-member task force appointed by the mayor interviewed candidates. 3 finalists were presented to the mayor, and he picked King. She took office in April, so she's been around for almost 8 months now.
She has about 30 years of community work under her belt, but she's never held elected office, but does have a lot of connections with the South Side's political elite. People like President Obama, former U.S. Secretary of Education Arne Duncan, and her husband Alan King is a well-known attorney and DJ.
So, last Monday morning, I went to the Board of Elections. It was the first day challengers could turn in signatures from 4th Ward residents to get on the ballot. 3 candidates were lined up by a bay of elevators, waiting for the doors to open at 9 a.m.
They wanted to be the first to hand in petitions. It makes you eligible for the coveted top spot on the ballot.
Ebony Lucas was one of the first to file, with what she estimated was 4,000 signatures. She's got a pretty generic platform.
I'm an attorney, and I've been living in the community. I'm raising my family in the community. I love the 4th Ward and want to be the 4th Ward's independent voice that represents the people and the interests of the people in the ward and brings development and youth programming and programming for seniors and real communication and community engagement.
But she highlighted something all the other candidates did, that Alderman King is perceived as someone who isn't independent.
Alderman King is an appointee, and we have a special election in February, and I'm running based on my experience and what I know I can do for the 4th Ward.
Reverend Gregory Seal Livingston brought up the same issue. He's an activist and organizer who's counting on the support of young protesters angry with Mayor Rahm Emanuel's handling of Laquan McDonald's death. He's organized numerous protests against the mayor at City Hall, calling for his resignation.
And I've been out here for a while being an advocate for the public good, but much of this was catalyzed also by the Laquan McDonald situation. So when Will Burns stepped down, he was Rahm Emanuel's right-hand man and his biggest African-American supporter. A lot of my friends talked to me about, you know, this is an opportunity for us not only to push from the outside in, but the inside out.
Another candidate, Marcellus Moore Jr., was planning to run for the seat before Alderman Burns stepped down. He's an attorney, often serving as a court-appointed child representative in divorce and custody proceedings. He used to be in real estate, had some pretty big-name clients like Bank of America. Then the housing market crashed, and he was out of a job. We spoke on the phone last week, and I asked him why he's running.
Just because I think the community needs somebody who's willing to listen, who's not part of the status quo, if you will, of the political circles.
Hear that? The status quo of the political circles. So I asked him, do you think that King is part of the status quo?
There are questions about her independence based on the fact she was appointed by Mayor Emanuel. I know she does not have a political background, and time will tell whether she's part of that system. But she came in by virtue of the fact of being appointed.
Noticing a theme, first-time candidate Jack Taylor, a disabled veteran, had the harshest words for King.
If you have a conversation with her, you'll know why I'm running. I'll be honest with you, because she is elitist. If you don't have no money, she ain't got no time for you.
King's perceived insider status hasn't done much to hurt her petition gathering or fundraising. Her challenger's numbers have so far paled in comparison. She turned in 6,000 signatures. To put that in perspective, Taylor had about 850. In terms of cash, she's got about $92,000. Ebony Lucas is in a distant second with about $24,000.
By now, you may be wondering why we're dedicating half the podcast to this one small race, but it's important. It'll be an interesting test case to see how voters perceive Mayor Emanuel's second term after a rocky year of police scandals and tax and fee hikes. King is tied to the mayor, whether she likes it or not. He appointed her to the seat, and her opponents are using it against her.
When I asked King how she might respond to challengers pushing against her appointee status, she said she went through intense vetting, and she hopes people will pay more attention to her record.
I think the reason, you know, that I made it as the top pick out of that process is because of the work that I've been doing over the past 30 years. And if you ask anyone who's dealt with me, you know, I've been a very independent leader, and I will continue to do so and represent the community to that end. And so, you know, hopefully the people will judge me on my record over 30 years and the record that I've shown over the last 6 months.
I asked some of the candidates if they supported Emanuel in 2015 and if they would work with him if they win. Moore said he didn't support the mayor, but refused to say why.
I'm not a Rahm hater, but I don't think he's been. I'm going to refer further comment there.
The last candidate to file this week was Gerald McCarthy. He's a lawyer and an accountant. He flat out refused to answer the Emanuel question.
And did you support Mayor Emanuel in 2015?
That's not what this election's about. It's about who the people of the Fourth Ward want to elect to represent them at this time. That's in the past. Let's go forward. Whether I supported him or not is not going to dictate whether I'm going to work with him to do what's best for the citizens of the Fourth Ward. That's my only concern. What is best for the citizens of the Fourth Ward? And then secondly, what's best for the city of Chicago?
When it comes to issues they care about, they pretty much all said the same thing. Better public safety, good schools, equitable development.
Next week, the Board of Elections will hold a lottery to determine who gets the top spot on the ballot. Since McCarthy was the last to file, he'll get the bottom spot by default, also a coveted position.
Another thing to watch there, who Cook County Board President Toni Preckwinkle endorses. She's the Democratic ward boss and has a lot of sway there. We got a hint this week, though. Preckwinkle's a special guest for a fundraiser for Sophia King later this month.
Your Honor, we have a quorum present.
We have a quorum.
The City Council held a special meeting Wednesday with only one item on the agenda, approving a new TIF district. It's part of a larger $2.1 billion plan to modernize the northern portion of the Red Line.
Yeah, there's a $1 billion federal grant in Washington with Chicago's name on it. It expires at the end of the year, and in order to secure the money, the city and the Chicago Transit Authority had to put up the rest, a local matching revenue source. CTA earmarked about $430 million, and this new TIF district will provide the rest, $625 million.
The boundary of the TIF is huge. Think a half-mile bubble on both sides of the Red Line, starting from just south of the Loyola Station all the way down to North and Clybourne.
And this is kind of related to that CPS story we talked about earlier in the episode, how dysfunction in Springfield is really messing things up for Chicago. Chicago needs the TIF partially because this project is moving forward without a dime from the state.
There has been no state capital bill since 2009, so we are in the process of, as I mentioned, balancing a number of priorities, but we don't have the full complement of capital funding that we normally have in these situations.
That's CTA's Chief Operating Officer Sylvia Garcia briefing aldermen on the plan. Finance Committee held two subject matter hearings on this. Garcia says the Red Line tracks are in serious need of repair. Not only is it over a century old, it's way over capacity and the existing infrastructure can't keep up with demand. Here's CTA's Chief Planning Officer, Carol Morey.
We need a complete reconstruction from Belmont to Howard. Although we continue to operate trains safely on this embankment, it cannot be done indefinitely. We also have an aging signal system that dates back from the 1970s. Imagine using a computer that was manufactured in the 1970s. The area that we're talking about has the largest gap in vertical accessibility on the Red Line. Only 5 of 14 stations are accessible between Belmont and Howard.
Here's the plan. New signals, new electrical wiring, fixing a couple crumbling viaducts, and wheelchair accessibility at 4 stations. They're building a flyover at Clark Junction. That's the point where the red, purple, and brown lines meet. That flyover will allow 15 more trains per hour during the morning and evening rush.
And this TIF is unlike any other TIF the city has created. It's geared specifically for public transportation. Nothing else. Its lifespan is also much longer than a regular TIF, 35 years compared to 23. And here's the kicker. It's expected that over the life of this TIF, it'll bring in more than $5 billion.
When we first had these meetings, it met with a lot of resistance from our neighbors. Why are we spending $2.3 billion to increase commute times?
It'll have a big impact on one ward.
Alderman Tom Tunney of Lakeview was the only one on the council to really raise an issue about the plan. 16 buildings will be demolished just to make room for that Belmont flyover.
So there's a lot of angst, and I've got to deal with that because these are my commercial property owners and my residents that feel that, yes, the artery that you're talking about is really important. However, I'm getting screwed. And you can put that in the record, too, okay? Because these people are furious. And I think they have a right to be because they were misled under the Brown Line redevelopment plan, and now they've got another 10 years of looking at dust, and they can't sell their homes. Or their businesses are being affected.
But Tunney still voted in favor, as did the rest of his colleagues, giving Mayor Rahm Emanuel a much-needed victory.
I just got off the phone with Secretary Fox from Department of Transportation to notify him of the vote of 48-0. And our work is already beginning in our Washington office, also at the CTA, in notifying the respective people about where we are on the vote today, because it's basically a key ingredient in moving the entire process forward.
For now, thanks for listening to the Aldercast. Please subscribe to catch us every weekend. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, and WGN Plus. And do us a favor, take a minute and write us a review on iTunes. I swear, it only takes a minute.
And if you like what we do here, you will love our paid subscription even more. We've got the best in-depth coverage of City Council and the Cook County Board. You can sign up online at thedailyline.net.
Got suggestions? Send us an email, info@thedailyline.net. And we're on Twitter @thedailylineshi. That's CHI. I'm Claudia Morell.
I'm AD Quigg. Tune in next week.